The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
A place where no one follows me. I want blood.
Hello, and welcome to episode 283 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Dee Dee Jonay.
Hey!
What's going on, friend?
Nothing much. How are you?
I'm fine. I know this is going to be a little weird for you since this is our new schedule. You're going to have to pull double duty for me this week.
I guess. The things I do.
Yes, since this was a episode after a pay-per-view, this is the official episode of the WrestleCast, so we will be talking about Money in the Bank, Monday Night Raw, and Retro Monday Night Raw. But before we get into all of those topics, we just got to let everybody know that the WrestleCast is a part of the CSPN, and you can find the WrestleCast on the web at cspn.us. You can also subscribe to the WrestleCast through iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and any place that plays podcasts. All you have to do is search and subscribe to the WrestleCast-the-CSPN. So first and foremost, before we get into the Money in the Bank preview, I'd like to congratulate Mr. Samuel Kalunga on winning Who You Got for Money in the Bank. He had 5 correct responses out of the 6 matches that we previewed. Of course, they added 2 matches like they always tend to do. So we didn't review those. Miss Dee Dee Jonay came in 2nd place with 4 correct answers, and I was bringing up the rear with 3. So,
I would like to suggest that I won, because where I come from, if you're not there to win your prize, you forfeit your prize.
I was just about to say, Mr. Kalunga, you do have to be present to claim your prize.
Just like the raffles. If you're not there, you lose. So sorry. I won. Besides, I should get bonus points for picking Otis and being right anyway. That's a vision, okay?
Yes, it did. It did. I don't know if that was beer goggles vision or what, but yes.
Listen, you got to believe in the gingers.
Thank you to everybody who came out and used the hashtag MoneyCastHoles. It was a lot of fun, as always. I think a lot of people have a lot of fun using that particular hashtag. And they're bringing backlash back because they can't go to Saudi Arabia. So the things you... They just bring it back from the dead. So we'll have to come up with something cool for that next month. But on to Money in the Bank. On the hashtag Say No to Pre-Shows portion of the show, we got Jeff Hardy versus Cesaro. Oh, there is some news before we actually do this. It's a false alarm. Alberto Del Rio. What you doing?
Ooh, man? Problematic.
What you doing, man? If you didn't know, he got arrested for sexual assault and like endangerment and all kinds of various other things that are, you know, not the major crime that he got booked for. But yeah, Alberto Del Rio was up to his tricks again. Apparently he was holding a woman against her will and doing very bad things to her throughout a day. And so they arrested his ass, and we'll see what comes of it. He got off with the Paige thing a couple of years ago when they had that little incident, and she kind of covered for him or whatever. But I don't think he's going to be so lucky this time.
No.
Yeah, so, you know, Happy
trails. You know how, like, you have a look at somebody's mugshot and you be like, yeah, he did it. He's got that kind of mugshot. And I ain't saying he did it because, you know, I ain't got money to do it.
Allegedly.
I'm just saying that's what it looks like.
Right. Right. So, yeah, that happened literally like 10 minutes before Money in the Bank started. That came down the timeline. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing?
And the thing with the woman wasn't even shocking, but it's like, why are you threatening the baby though? Like, what?
Yeah.
Allegedly. You know, why would you allegedly threaten the baby?
Allegedly.
Because, yeah. Again, I'm not saying he did it. I'm just saying that's what the mugshot looked like.
So now officially back into the pre-show match, Jeff Hardy, Cesaro. We get a backslide by Jeff, but Cesaro counters and he gets a twist of fate for a two count. Body slam follows. Cesaro cuts off the senton and hits an avalanche gut wrench suplex for another two count. Cesaro hits the clothesline. That gets a two count. Jeff rolls to the floor. Cesaro hits an uppercut. Jeff whips him into the steps. Jeff then dives off the barricade with a clothesline. Back in the ring, Jeff goes up top. He hits the swanton. And Jeff Hardy is victorious. I thought Jeff Hardy was going to change his style. He's still doing the same shit.
Why'd you think he was going to change?
Because he said he was going to be new and improved and less reckless.
He just meant not on drugs.
Oh, my bad. I guess that is, in a way, new and improved.
He just meant sober, that's all.
Okay, that was my bad for misunderstanding then.
Yeah.
Okay, this was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You never saw it, so you know, you just agree. But yeah, it was fun.
Of course I didn't. Why would I watch a pre-show? No.
It's Cesaro. He, you know, he doesn't get the love and respect he deserves from WWE.
But first of all, let me tell you the getcha gotcha. This show ended before 10 o'clock, so why was there even a pre-show? At all.
You have to keep up the routines.
Secondly, considering who got to be on the main show, I'm calling bullshit. But listen, that's not my monkey. That's not my circus.
Speaking of...
put that ashy-ass man on the main show. How dare they?
Gosh. Speaking of the main show, we started off with SmackDown Tag Team Championship Fatal 4-Way match as the champions, the New Day, are defending against the Forgotten Sons, The Miz and John Morrison, and a Lucha House Party. Cutler tags in, and he attacks Big E. Kofi cuts Cutler off, he tags in, and the Afternoon Delight connects for a two count. New Day looks for the Midnight Hour, that gets cut off, and it breaks down into the Big Move Buffet. The Starship Pain for Morrison gets a two count. Lindsay Dorado then runs wild with a Golden Rewind, and Metalik hits an Avalanche Hurricane Rana. The Luchas fight off Big E. We get a huge splash by Lindsay. The rope walk elbow drop by Metalik. But the Forgotten Sons make the save as they try to pin Big E. They run Kofi into the post. Big E is dumped to the outside by Jackson Ryker. And the ref sends Ryker to the back. We get dives by the Luchas. And then Big E hits the big ending. And he pins Grand Metalik. And then New Day retain the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Yay.
I don't know. You probably haven't been paying close attention enough.
No, probably haven't, but...
Okay, remember when Kofi's hair... Remember when you was like, I don't like the blonde?
Yes.
Their tights did not have any color on them. They just had the designs, but it was white, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can see the outlines of the designs, but now if you look at their tights, they're coloring them in. They're like almost all the way colored in.
Wow.
Yeah. Attention to detail with those guys.
I only pay attention to alcohol that deeply, so I don't. I'll have to take your word for it.
Yeah, I guess it's a thing if you listen to their podcast, you kind of are in tune with the gear and how it's filling in ever so slowly.
Ah, yes. So it's a long ranging plan. Okay.
Right.
I like it a lot.
Lacey Evans comments on why she's going to win Money in the Bank later in the evening. Drew McIntyre arrives and sends out Mother's Day wishes before talking about his match with Seth. Drew jokes about being called an underdog. He praises Seth and says that he has heart and passion. He is the champion and he will not lose it tonight. And he says that Seth just talks too much. In what was supposed to be R-Truth versus MVP in a Scooby-Doo, how they get on the card match. They come out and they both have a heated discussion about balling. That's when Bobby Lashley arrives. He joins the match and takes MVP's place. R-Truth accidentally smacks Lashley, so Bobby Lashley attacks him. And now we have our match, Bobby Lashley versus R-Truth. Lashley mauls R-Truth, working him over in the corner. He tosses Truth around and hits a spine buster. Truth counters a suplex, but Lashley spears him, and Bobby Lashley gets the win.
He's still ashy.
I'm going to break some news to you.
Ooh, what?
You're about to be saying a whole lot of Bobby Lashley in the next 5 to 6 weeks. So I would suggest you get your moisturizers and your shea butters and everything else ready.
But why? I don't want to.
It's because they kind of got to.
Listen, I understand that pickings is slim, but my God.
Somebody else that you really care deeply about, Baron Corbin. He comments on Money in the Bank. He puts himself over a course, talking about how he's going to win the match later tonight. My girl Kayla, looking only as she can look, is interviewing Bayley and Sasha Banks. And of course, she's being messy, trying to stir up trouble between those two right before Bayley takes on Tamina as she defends her SmackDown Women's Championship. Tamina super kicks Bayley to the floor and then dumps her over the announce table. Back in, Tamina heads up top, but the big splash is blocked. Well, she saw Bayley getting her knees up, so she kind of stopped herself. Tamina then hits a super kick and a Samoan drop, and that's when Sasha Banks distracts her.
Hey.
Tamina chases Sasha, and Bayley counters into a crucifix for the win. After the match, Sasha and Bayley beat down Tamina. This was your one, Miss Didi. If you wouldn't have took that flyer.
See, listen, I never believed she was going to win. I just felt like if there was ever a time for her to win, it would be this match with nobody around and no actual consequences because they can't tour. So, you know, I'm not shocked I was wrong, but I'm vaguely disappointed.
For Tamina, it was a good match. I enjoyed this, actually.
Not for Tamina.
I think I'm really enjoying Bayley. She's stepped up her in-ring entertainment during this stuff. And so, yeah, she's a... I think it was on SmackDown when they were doing a tag team match. She got up on the turnbuckle to do her elbow drop. And somebody was like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "I'm getting ready to win this match. That's what I'm doing." I was like, "Yeah, tell him, Bayley." Seth cuts a promo about his title match later tonight. Drew. Now it's time for our Universal Championship match, Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt. Bray gets cut off with strikes, but counters into a tornado DDT and a Sister Abigail for a two count. Braun counters the second Sister Abigail attempt, and he chokeslams Bray. Then he follows with a corner splash. Bray rolls to the floor, and Braun runs him over. Back in, Bray kicks Braun back down to the floor. That's when Braun appears wearing the black sheet mask. Bray is happy, and Braun rips off his shirt. Bray tries to appeal to their love for each other, and Braun kneels before him, and then they hug.
Oh.
The puppets celebrate, but then Braun takes off the mask. He stomps on it, and then he power slams Bray, and he retains the Universal title.
I mean, he kind of let him in, though.
Yeah, because as Bray was leaving the arena, you saw splices of the Fiend coming in. So seems to be the kind of the way things work. You face the, you know, Bray Wyatt in the sweater, and if he can't get it done, then he you know, signals the Fiend to come handle it. So I guess we'll see Braun versus the Fiend at some point coming up. What'd you think about the when he knocks him off the back off out of the ring, and then Braun comes up with the sheet mask? What do you think about that little?
I was very afraid. I never did like the sheet mask. It was kind of terrifying.
But the whole little melodrama there in the middle, it was like, oh snap! Out of nowhere, he done damn switched over. He coming back home. Should have known it was a swerve, bro.
Mm-hmm.
The hacker, he's back. He says he sees everything, hears everyone, and he is the truth. Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins, WWE Championship match. Drew counters the blackout into a headbutt, and they work up top. Drew fights him off, but Seth pops up and hits the superplex, and he rolls into the Falcon Arrow for a two count. Seth counters blackout into the future. Drew counters the blackout into the future shock, and that gets a two count. Drew takes him up top, delivers chops, and follows him up until Seth presses him into the tree of woe. Drew counters back into a German suplex, but the claymore is countered by a super kick and a blackout for a two count. Seth Rollins went like all the way across the ring on that damn spider German suplex. He flew. Seth looks for another blackout, but Drew headbutts him. They trade strikes until the Claymore connects, and Drew McIntyre gets the win.
Yay.
Oh, this was a hell of a match. It was the longest match on the show, well, besides the Money in the Bank, because, you know, that was two matches in one. But this was the longest match on the show, and it was well-deserved. After the match, Drew offers to shake Seth's hand. Seth accepts, and Drew thanks him for the match. That's usually the shit that happens behind the scenes, but they did it out in front of everybody.
Aww.
Truth is interviewed and says MVP was tough. He lost a lot of weight, but he beat him. He misses his 24/7 title, and he teases getting his baby back, vowing to sack Tom Brady to do so. Just R-Truth being R-Truth. So now it's time for Money in the Bank. As Nia Jax, Asuka, Shayna Baszler, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, Carmella on the women's side. And we have Aleister Black, Rey Mysterio, Daniel Bryan, King Corbin, Otis, and AJ Styles on the men's side. The women enter the lobby and they brawl. Well, they enter the lobby and it starts out as a big brawl because Asuka dives off the second floor above him to wipe out the women, and she takes the elevators as the other women give chase. So right out of the bat, Miss Dee Dee,
a genius.
We get somebody using their brain and going in the elevator. The men, on the other hand, they're starting in the weight room. Corbin breaks the mirror with the weight, and Daniel Bryan attacks. They battle as Otis traps AJ Styles under some weights. We get a Scooby-Doo-like chase to the bathroom when Brother Love makes a cameo. He had on gloves and he was washing his hands, so he's being extra cautious. Otis, Bryan, and Aleister Black brawl in an elevator as the women climb the steps to find Asuka, but the men appear. Otis and Bryan beat up Baron Corbin. They fight, and Daniel Bryan then runs off as we get a Doink cameo. Nia works over Carmella as Shayna and Dana join in. Shayna and Nia brawl. Dana uses a chair shot to drop Nia and grabs a case full of money. But Stephanie arrives to say that's the wrong case and tells her to clean up Nia's drool. Carmella lays out Dana, and Lacey KOs Carmella. Styles looks for Ray, and he sees a pic of the Undertaker, and he gets scared. He has flashbacks to the Boneyard, and Aleister Black attacks him and locks him in the Undertaker's coffin room. We see Paul Heyman. He's in catering, and everybody starts to run through. They all argue. Otis steals Paul's food, and we have a food fight. Heyman gets nailed and they all food fight and brawl, minus AJ Styles. Nia slams Dana into a Coke machine and power bombs Carmella through a table. Dana Brooke was actually the comic relief in this for the women's side, because she was showing up to all these places late because things were happening to her. So she, what happened? Oh, after Stephanie McMahon was like, you got the wrong case, the real briefcase is on the roof, clean up the drool. Carmella laid her out with like a picture of like the somebody. It was like one of those frame pictures. So she hit her over the head.
So that's why she had that frame around her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so when they get to the catering, she's running up with the frame around her head and runs right into Paul Heyman and knocks him down. So then we get, my notes skipped over the best part. While they're doing this food fight, poor Rey Mysterio, he gets choked out by Shayna. Then when he recovers, damn Nia Jax and Otis sandwich him. Boom. So he's right back down.
I hope the baby got hazard pay. That's a lie.
So after Nia Jax and Otis run over or smash into Rey Mysterio, they face off and then they walk off in opposite directions. Otis finds the kitchen as Johnny Ace on his little scooter pulls up. He talks about people power and Otis gives them a pie to the face. Asuka, she's still running away from the women. They're running through like a kitchen area or something where this dude's mopping the floor and all the women run through. And then of course, Dana Brooke slips on the wet floor. So she's taken out. Nia then takes out Shayna and Lacey Evans. Back to the men, Daniel Bryan and Aleister Black, they're brawling. AJ Styles is back and he joins in. Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, they fight into Vince's office. He's there and he kicks them out. They apologize. They fix the chairs. They close the door. Vince sanitizes his hands. And yes, he did have the Tyrannosaurus Rex head on the wall. The fossils framed. Yes, he did have them on the wall. Styles and Bryan, they continue to fight outside. Baron Corbin attacks and lays them out until Aleister Black arrives. They all battle. Baron Corbin gets control and he says he's going to the roof. On the roof, the women arrive first as Asuka and Nia brawl. Lacey joins in and Nia dominates, dumping her from the ring. Nia climbs, but Asuka cuts her off and fires away with strikes, and then she gets cut off. We get a women's right by Lacey, and then Asuka knocks her off. She takes out Nia, and Lacey then cuts her off. She climbs, and Asuka stops her. Nia and Lacey climb, but Nia is taken out by Lacey. Asuka climbs, and that's when Baron Corbin joins her on the ladder. She slaps him, then she grabs the briefcase, and Asuka is your winner for the women's side of the Money in the Bank match.
She slapped the shit out of him.
Yes, she did. So the men's match is still going on. Otis, he's the second person to get up to the roof. But of course, just like on SmackDown, the ladder can't hold his weight. So Baron Corbin takes him out. Otis battles back with and then hits Corbin with the caterpillar. Ray then takes out Otis, and he fights with Aleister Black, and they begin to climb. AJ Styles runs up, he topples over the ladder, and then that's when Baron Corbin grabs Rey Mysterio and tosses him off the roof. Corbin then grabs Aleister Black and does the same thing to him as well. So AJ Styles, Bryan, and Baron Corbin battle with Otis and Styles. Battle with Otis, and Styles works over Otis, and the springboard forearm hits. He climbs, Baron Corbin follows, and they fight on the ladder. They pull the briefcase down, and that's when Elias returns and hits Baron Corbin in the back with the guitar. AJ has control of the briefcase for just a second because he fumbles it. It falls down, and who's there to catch it? Big Otis, and he is your winner of the men's Money in the Bank match.
Told you so. Hey.
What's that mean?
I knew his fat ass wasn't getting on that damn ladder, though, too.
You know what? This match was actually fun. It wasn't the raid like we wanted it to be.
Right.
But it was still pretty fun in its own way.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
They did a decent job. It wasn't as good as the main event of AEW was as far as just pure entertainment and comedy. But yes, it was very well done for, you know, what we didn't know how they could pull it off. So, kudos to everybody in that Money in the Bank match. It looked like they had a lot of fun doing that. And I think it was received very well by a lot of the wrestling fans on Sunday night. And like Ms. Didi Jonet said, 2 hours and 15 minutes for pay-per-view.
It's like, let's go back. I like that.
It was awesome. Because when Seth Rollins and them are wrestling, it's like, damn, it's only like 8:45. I was like, well, if they go like for 40 minutes, I was like, this pay-per-view might end like at 9:30. Didn't even get that far.
It was great. I think it was like 9:18. I was like, wait a minute. That's it?
Yes, so I really enjoyed this pay-per-view. I mean, for what it was, with the lack of the crowd and everything, it actually turned out to be pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it a lot. And, you know, nothing really shocking happened except for Otis winning. And maybe Asuka, too. I think a lot of people thought Shayna was going to get this, get the title shot here coming up just based off of her history with Becky and kind of the unfinished business they have from WrestleMania. But that kind of leads us directly into Monday Night Raw. So we open with highlights from last night's Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Rey and Aleister Black actually aren't dead. Thank the Lord.
Oh, it's a little disappointing.
So it was announced earlier in the day that Becky Lynch has a big announcement to make, and she was going to kick off Monday Night Raw. So true to their word, here comes Becky. She's got the Money in the Bank briefcase. Everybody's like, what the fuck is she doing with the briefcase? We just saw Asuka win it. Mm-hmm. She says she has joy and sadness and has something to do here tonight. She asked WWE to raise the stakes of the Money in the Bank match for her, and then she talks about her WWE run, all she accomplished, and the support of the fans over the years. So she has to tell the fans that she has to go away for a while. Asuka arrives, and Becky says that she beat her when no one else could and is glad she won the Money in the Bank match, because it wasn't a win to just get a title shot. It was to actually win the championship. Becky unlocks the case and the championship is in it. She says Asuka won the title last night because Becky can't fight anymore. So Asuka is celebrating. She's doing the Asuka dance in the ring, out the ring, up the ramp, on the commentary desk, back down the ramp, back into the ring. Just, so it's like, I am the champion. Becky congratulates her and tells her to go be a warrior because Becky has to go be a mother. And then,
yes!
And then Asuka's whole kind of thing shifts around and she's like, oh my gosh, mother? And then she starts, you know, chanting Becky and she's really excited for Becky. So,
a friend.
Big announcement, because it's like, got to go away for a while. Is she hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, not what really.
The Rona is what happened.
Yeah, is she sick?
She about to be. You know that morning sickness going to pop up.
So apparently she had some inklings in April.
Okay.
So there's a high probability that she wrestled at WrestleMania like a week pregnant, maybe.
Oh, well. When it's that little, you can't hurt it.
I don't know. I've never had to do this, so I'm sure this happens to, you know, more.
Oh, me neither, friend.
Then it, don't then, hurt. She took one test and she took it wrong. And so it came up negative. And so she just kind of had a feeling like, yeah, we probably need to do this again. So she took a digital one and it came out pregnant. And here we are.
That is so interesting. So that's not the- really, because that's what happens when you have in-house dick and you can't leave the house. Like, yeah. Honestly, I'm surprised Naomi ain't pregnant. Like, ain't nothing else to do.
That's because she probably has strict instructions on, you know.
Yeah. And also, he already got kids, which means they in their faces being annoying. So they don't have time. You see, what's her name? Becky and Seth, they ain't got nothing but time.
And opportunities. Go work out
and they just go stare at each other naked. Be like, yeah, let's go. You know, like, it's she's pregnant.
So we come back from the commercial break. Commentary recaps what we just witnessed. Becky's in the back to be interviewed, and it's never really an interview. It's just a chance for everybody, all the faces to come and congratulate her. Rey Mysterio, Natty, Street Profits, Bianca, Umberto.
All the ethnics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All whole, the ethnics.
A whole bunch of people just came up and congratulated her. So great moment for Becky Lynch to start off Monday Night Raw. Now, here's Dee Dee's fave again. Bobby Lashley versus Dee Dee's.
That's so rude.
One of Dee Dee's real faves, Humberto Carrillo.
Yes, dimple.
Lashley grabs a chair after he ran Carrillo into a post. So he looks like he's going to like wind up to try to, you know, hit him in the head. But of course, thankfully, Humberto ducks. So Bobby Lashley hits the post. Humberto follows with his own chair shots. Back in the ring, Bobby Lashley cuts him off. He snatches him up into the full Nelson, and Humberto Carrillo has to tap out. Bobby Lashley is your winner.
No.
The full Nelson won a match in 2020. Word to Hercules Hernandez and Chris Masters. The Street Profits and the Viking Raiders, they continue their feud. The Viking Raiders said anything the Street Profits can do, they can do better. So the Street Profits are challenging them to a game of basketball. They're going to play later tonight. Asuka gets interviewed. She is very happy to be the champion. Kairi Sane joins her to celebrate. And they both dance off in great enthusiasm. You get a recap of the Edge and Randy Orton feud because they're going to come face to face later in the show. Commentary talks about the Apollo Crews rise and injury against Andrade. Los Ingobernables de Orlando, they are arguing backstage, and Garza is in the next match. I don't know why they got beef. I guess because of the way the last few weeks they all been getting their ass beat by Drew. But yeah, they had beef. So Angel Garza versus Mr. Wednesday Night, Akira Tozawa. Why is he Mr. Wednesday Night? Because when you wrestle him on Wednesdays, he don't do no jobs. Catch him on Monday. Jobber to the stars. This was old school. This match was joined in progress. Tozawa runs wild until Garza cuts him off and delivers knee strikes. He follows with chops and more knee strikes until Tozawa hits a Hurricane Rana. Garza cuts him off into the Tree of Woe and follows with the penalty kick for a two. Garza grounds things, but Tozawa makes the ropes. Garza talks shit to Austin Theory. Then he hits the wing clipper, and Angel Garza gets the win. They continue to argue more as Zelina Vega's crew, and that's when Drew arrives. He lays out Theory with the claymore as his pals laugh. So Drew then hits Garza with one, and then Drew and Andrade argue. It's a shame how Drew McIntyre is just running through these poor lads. Each and every week. So that gives us a champion versus champion match. Drew McIntyre versus Andrade. No titles on the line. You know, they have this big rivalry from NXT that still kind of is like, I think Drew is trying to get a lot of get back from being hurt.
They got a history.
Right. The Claymore is countered as Andrade bails to the floor. He stuns Drew off the ropes and then he was working on his arm. So he runs his bad arm into the ring post. The double knees connect, and we get a one count. That's the thing about Drew McIntyre, boy. He be kicking out of everybody's shit at one lately. Drew counters the Hammerlock DDT, delivers chomps. We get a back elbow by Andrade. That's when Drew hits the headbutt. The inverted Alabama Slam connects, and then he hits the Claymore, and Drew McIntyre gets the win.
It feels correct.
This isn't doing much for Andrade and the crew, though.
Fuck him!
That's your United States champion.
I don't care.
He needs to be presented as a threat at least sometimes.
Oh, well, whatever.
See, I was about to say something, but if I would have said it, because Sam didn't say it, it would have been racist. So I'm not going to say it.
What was you going to say? It was something about being Mexican.
Mm-hmm. Well, sort of. I was going to, something about a pinata.
Just say it. We won't judge you.
That's like, they shouldn't be out here being, you know, Drew's pinata every week.
That's funny. Yeah, that is. Yeah, you can't say that. That's funny, though. You can say it when it's funny.
Drew says he's here because anything can happen. He loves throwing a Claymore party. He says that Money in the Bank, his match with Seth was a hell of a fight. And he says Seth brought it. He says line them up and he will knock them down. He then talks about the brand-to-brand invitation, which is something that they're starting. Not quite the wild card rule, but similar. Mm. And he says, a certain SmackDown star will come here to challenge him. And that man is someone everybody hates. Next week, he's going to face King Corbin. Drew promises to Claymore his ass back to SmackDown next week.
I love that everybody hates him. that's established. Like, nobody likes him. He's got no friends. Like, even if you help him, we still don't like him. It's just beneficial to help him at the time.
Right. MVP and Bobby Lashley, they meeting up backstage. MVP praises Bobby Lashley as they tease a reunion. He says Lashley should be fighting for the championship, not trapped in the same spot he's always been in. MVP then tells Lana, if Bobby's looking for a change, tell him to come holler at me. And then, of course, Lana's pissed. So you heard that, right, Didi? Mm. Lashley, he says, Lashley, you should be fighting for the championship.
Uh-huh.
So you about to see a whole bunch of Bobby Lashley.
Oh, I thought you were talking about if he wanted change and like he was going to hand him some lotion and some oil.
Time for a moment of bliss. Nikki and Alexa are here. They talk about Becky's big announcement and wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. And that's when the Iconics arrive and say they have been forgotten, but not quite like the Forgotten Sons. Alexa welcomes them back as Nikki mocks them. The Iconics say they won't be upstaged by Becky's announcement and they want a title shot tonight. The champions refuse, so the Iconics are like, okay, but we still want a match, though. So, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus the Iconics. Billy Chris. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Billy Kay grounds things, follows with a knee strike, and Nikki fires back on Peyton Royce, but it's cut off by double teams, and Peyton covers for a two count. Peyton and Nikki work into a double down. Bliss and Billy Kay tag in. Bliss controls and hits the double knee moonsault until Peyton Royce breaks up the pin. Nikki is dumped to the outside as Billy Kay cheap shots Alexa Bliss, and then they hit like a reverse magic killer, and the Iconics get the win.
Hey,
do you know they've been gone for 7 months?
It didn't seem like that long, but it seemed like a while.
Damn.
That's crazy that they came back in the middle of Rona, though.
Right.
I'll stay gone. I'll be like, well, looks like I just work over here now.
You know, somebody sitting in the corporate offices looking at the roster and thinking, you know, we got to have something to do for Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross because they do have title belts.
Yeah.
And somebody just had a bright idea. Hey, I think it's a perfect time to bring back the Iconics. Just fly them all the way across the world.
That's crazy.
Rey Mysterio, he's cutting an interview. He talks about surviving death and money in the bank. He says he got thrown off the roof, but luckily he landed on a secondary roof, like 6 feet below.
Like that's even a thing, a secondary roof. Like what?
It's called a ledge, not a roof.
Right, what goes on? Oh, you landed on the secondary roof. The fuck? What are you talking about? Like, yeah, we built a platform, so you just kind of fell. That's what happened. Oh, the secondary. But didn't I ask you for that? Didn't I ask somebody to be thrown off the building?
Yes,
so they
you
gave
did.
Me like a bit of what I want. See, they listen. They just don't want to give me what I want. They know I'm right.
Yeah, see, then they have to pay you. And so they twist it up just enough to keep the copyright.
They don't have to pay me. They scam. Listen, they scam. I expect the scam. They could have just done like some a little. They needed to get the Lethal Weapon pillow.
Oh gosh.
Be like, we thought somebody might have done that, so we just as a precaution.
Had the crash pad.
It's like, it's not that we think that you're trying to murder each other, just in case. We know how these things are.
Right. So Ray congratulates Otis on winning Money in the Bank, and he says he's gonna team with Aleister Black tonight to take on Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. And that's when Seth arrives and just stares him down. Ray congratulates him on becoming a father. Seth looks like, yeah, he just became a father and wasn't ready. His hair is all like undone. And he's got this like, I don't know, 7 mile stare going on. And he's not talking. He's just walking around like a zombie. This is a very interesting look for Seth Rollins. It's kind of like a broken Matt Hardy look a little bit. But just not the nonsense and the verbiage.
I could see that, yeah.
R-Truth, Ricochet, and Cedric Alexander versus MVP, Shane Thorne, and Brendan Vink. Now see, this match is going to end up having all the players in it for the dope ass, well, most of the players, people we want for that dope ass faction. But WWE, y'all playing around. I don't want this to be great. Brendan Vink cuts off Cedric and grounds things while Truth plays pretty Ricky on the apron. He basically had some Wanda teeth. R-Truth did and said that his cousin Pretty Ricky was also here in the match as well. So he was going back and forth between that. Shane Thorne tags in and keeps Cedric grounded. Vink gets back in. Cedric fires back but gets cut off with a mean right hand. Cedric manages to fire back and that leads to R-Truth and MVP tagging in. R-Truth gets control as it starts breaking down. R-Truth hits the lie detector and R-Truth pinned MVP in 2020 in WWE.
Now that's iconic.
So R-Truth is celebrating. Lashley arrives. He and MVP kick the shit out of R-Truth. And Bobby Lashley's like, yo, we need to go talk. So they walk out, I guess, to go have a powwow about MVP becoming the advocate for Bobby Lashley. This worked really well in TNA, so we'll see if we can get it on the level that they had it in WWE. Jinder Gang, Jinder Mahal, he's interviewed. He says he's happy that Drew is champion, and he says that he should be respected as a former champion. He says he will redeem himself, and this time his journey to the top will be a hero's journey. I don't know if that means he's going to be a good guy or he's a bad guy that thinks he's a good guy. So we'll just have to wait and see. What do you think about the new haircut?
On who?
Jinder Mahal.
You know, he had a haircut?
Yeah, you know, he's gone for like 10 months too. Oh yeah, you haven't seen him then because he's...
I heard him.
Yeah.
I saw his face. I guess I wasn't... Guess I don't pay attention.
Yeah, and he's lost like a lot of weight. He's a lot leaner.
Good. He got off the roids, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. He stopped taking them supplements. Yeah.
We see AJ Styles in a very comfy chair, and he's getting ready to check out the Undertaker documentary. It's time for a Shayna Baszler promo. Shayna comments on the Becky pregnancy news, and she's like, how stupid can you be to get knocked up while you're the champion? It's like, this kid has a zero-sum future. Look who this kid's father is. Just all kinds of disrespectful. So they begin to hype the Undertaker documentary, and AJ Styles gets pissed in this comfy little chair. We come back and we see Vince and Becky sharing a moment. Vince is hugging Becky. Let's talk about this, Miss Dee Dejeuner.
I wouldn't hug Vince.
Okay.
He's but, like a succubus. Like, he takes the energy from people. The energy vampire. I would never hug Vince McMahon. You can get a handshake at the most.
Usually when women professional wrestlers have a child, that's it. It's over. There's no coming back. It's like, hey, you know what? I've done that. I'm now a mom, and I can't be running across the country the way y'all want me to run across the country being a mom. At least not, you know, for the first 5 years anyway. So is this the last that we've seen of Becky Lynch?
I doubt it. I give her 2.5-3 years at the most. I don't think she'll quit. I don't see it for her. I don't see that.
Right. It's going to be very interesting, though, the timetable that she chooses to return.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully there's no, you know, because pregnancy isn't just, you know, hey, I'm pregnant, and then 9 months later I have the baby. So hopefully, you know, she doesn't have any complications or any setbacks or anything like that that would, you know, really make her consider not coming back to wrestling.
Yeah.
Now it's time for the match that involved the baby daddy, Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy versus Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black.
Now Mysterio going back up to the top turnbuckle, but staring down Rollins, does not know what to make of the Monday Night Messiah. Mysterio has Murphy right where he wants him.
Whoa!
Cross body. Now Murphy.
Oh, he's got him go deep.
Everyone tights and a kick out.
No matter how you feel about Murphy, he's able to pull off a victory here against Mysterio.
Murphy went for Murphy's Law. Great counter into the bulldog by Mysterio and a kick out. Face planting Murphy, and again, Rollins is just standing there.
You got to admit this, his durability is almost second to none.
Ooh. Mysterio tossed into the corner. Rollins didn't even register. And Mysterio is shot there to Rollins, and now Murphy. Murphy sent into the rope.
Oh, it looks like we're taking a trip down to San Diego County.
Dial it up.
Oh, went for the 619 and blocked by Rollins. And the official justifiably calling for the bell. Oh, my God. And because of the strike by Mysterio, Rollins is snapped out of it.
Oh, Rollins is definitely snapped out of it.
That was to the eye. That was a shot to the eye by Rollins.
Come on.
The demeanor of Rollins immediately has changed.
Come on. Focusing in on the eye. Rollins zeroing in on an entry to the eye of Rey Mysterio.
No. No. Stay back. Stay the hell back.
Point of the steel stairs into the eye of Mysterio. The point of the steel stairs into the eye of Rey Mysterio.
That's enough, then. Come on.
Take the mask off.
Take the mask off. Take it 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 off. Take it
Come back. Ray is being treated backstage. Seth arrives. He says he didn't know what happened out there. He just snapped. Aleister Black is pissed. He goes to kind of confront Seth. That's when Murphy jumps up and Aleister Black attacks Murphy. They have a big fight and Seth Rollins like walks to where they took Rey Mysterio, because as soon as he comes up, they like whisk Rey Mysterio down this hallway. So once Murphy and Aleister Black start fighting, Seth goes down that hallway too, like he's looking for Rey. Now it's time for the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders. They're continuing their feud on the basketball court. The Viking Raiders don't understand the game of basketball, and the game is next. The Street Profits dominate the Viking Raiders. There's all kinds of hijinks. Montez Ford and Dawkins are just clowning, doing all kinds of, you know, dunks and alley-oops and, you know, just globetrotter type shit. So it's like 74-0. The Viking Raiders finally score to make it 74-2. They think they've won. But they were like, nah, man, look at the score. He was like, y'all committed more fouls than y'all got points. So, yeah, this was a little entertaining. Kind of back to the Street Profits and NXT type feel. I enjoyed that a lot. Natty, she says he's here to show Shayna some manners. Shayna claims the Hart Dynasty dies with her because we know she's never having any kids.
That's just mean.
Shayna was on one last night, boy. She was certified heel. Following the basketball game, the Viking Raiders claim they let the Street Profits win, and then Ivar hits a half-court shot and a bunch of threes before slam dunking the ball. And he's kind of like, you know what I'm saying, we were just playing coy. It's very interesting to see, you know, big-ass white dudes like that dunking. Not to say that, you know, white dudes can't dunk, but big-ass white dudes like that, though, that's some gravity-defying shit. Shayna Baszler versus Natalya. They lock up. Natty takes early control. Shayna grounds her and then follows with tackles. She grounds things and fires back and works the counters until Shayna stops that. She follows with the leg kicks. Natalya fires back and Shayna lights her up with strikes. She follows with suplexes, but Natalya cradles her for a two count. Shayna counters a sharpshooter. She hits a knee strike and Shayna Baszler gets the win. Nothing to see here. Natty doing what she always does.
Catching L's.
King Corbin talks about the attempted double homicide at Money in the Bank. He says next week he'll prove that he made Drew when they were on Raw, and he will prove why he's the king next week. So next week, the matches announced are Drew McIntyre versus Baron Corbin, plus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defend the Tag Team Women's Championships against the Iconics. Now it's time for the main event segment, Edge and Randy Orton. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
How you thought your man looked?
Old. Need to gain about 5 more pounds. That face is looking a little aged.
Edge arrives and says he's been gone for 6 weeks, where he beat Randy at WrestleMania. He says he made the miraculous comeback and is back to retire on his terms, so what's next? Mania wasn't the end, and he isn't here to hunt Randy. He got his pound of flesh, and his closure, he and his family have moved on. Randy arrives and says congratulations. Edge was the better man, and he won. He begins to leave and laughs. Then he returns and says he tried to be the bigger man, but he can't do it. Can't lie to himself. The better man did win at Mania, but the better wrestler did not. Edge made his comeback. He hid behind 28 other guys in the Royal Rumble, and they had a fight at WrestleMania. But he didn't beat Randy in a wrestling match. And it didn't take Randy 9 years to come back. He says Edge hasn't had a real match since 2011, and some would argue Randy hasn't either. He knows that Edge doubts himself. That was my own commentary in there. He knows that Edge doubts himself and says that he can't match Randy's natural ability. Randy wants a match, and if Edge has the guts, Randy wants him at Backlash in a straight-up wrestling match. So Edge just kind of stares him down. He doesn't respond, and that's when Charlie says, if this happens, this could be the greatest wrestling match ever. And then she tried not to laugh as they went off the air.
You're like, JK, JK.
Like, what? Oh, man. I don't know about that. I mean, if they actually have a real wrestling match and, like, it could be entertaining. But I know Edge personally heard how people hated that match, and they're probably going to try to come back and really tear it down. Greatest wrestling match ever? Nah, I don't know about that. Don't know about that. So that was Monday Night Raw following Money in the Bank. That was actually a pretty good show. Shayna Baszler being the star with her commentary.
Mm-hmm.
She actually would have fit right into Attitude Era Monday Night Raw with those comments. Just no couth or anything like that. Before we talk about Retro Raw, just to let everybody know, please support the podcast by becoming a patron over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. That's where we talk about all the good things related to AEW, post and pre and post show conversations from all the shows that we record. So you can always have fresh content over there on the Patreon page. Listen to the Dark Match, me and Miss Simi breaking down AEW, plus random conversations and thoughts from Miss Didi Jonet, Samuel Kalunka, Miss Simi, and all of our guests here that come through the WrestleCast. So now it's time for Retro Rawcast. This took place on February 2nd, 1998. And this episode right here was actually the game, one of the game-changing episodes for me. Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack. They're going to have a match. Well, first, let me start with this. DX is giving us a special report bulletin, kind of like a presidential briefing. Sean says that TSN has been cracking down, like TSN, USA, all the networks have been cracking down on standards and practices. Triple H comes to the podium and mentions all the things that they will say between the hours of 10 to 9, and they will only use these words. They list the words. So it's like, ass, damn, hell, whatever. He says, and then we will not be using the following words. And so he starts cursing, and they're putting the censor over every word. And then he says, from the hours of 10 to 11 p.m., we will use these words. And so he lists like two or three words. And so, you know, they go through all the words, whatever they won't say. And then it says the, you know, they do the little thing where, you know, Shawn Michaels is talking about, you know, the oral office because, you know, it's 1998, President Clinton and everything like that. And he's like, no, I did not sleep with that intern because I was up. So DX comes out to the ring to start the show. They're dressed like Uncle Sam. It's like they're having a parade or they're on the stump. They're campaigning. So, you know, China has a sign that says Tyson versus Austin. And it's just like a, you know, it's just like a convention, like a political thing. So they got, you know, the balloons and everything like that. They say that Austin and Tyson, they want each other, and then Nevada State Athletic Commission and Vince McMahon should get them to fight, and they start to let them fight chant. That's when Stone Cold comes out. He gets in HBK's face. He says he appreciates the support because he can damn well beat the living crap out of Mike Tyson anytime. But he said he won the Royal Rumble, and that means that Shawn's ass belongs to him. So at this point, Steve rips off his shirt. He's no longer kidding around. He's dead serious. Austin talks some more shit. rips off his own shirt. They're nose to nose. Oh, yeah, that was good stuff. It's real serious. Steve Austin's talking hella trash. Chainsaw Charlie versus Cactus Jack. They're going to have, you know, one of their hardcore matches against each other. So they do. It culminates with Cactus Jack climbing up onto the, he backdropped. Cactus Jack brought out this huge ass, like, dumpster, one of those BFI dumpsters on wheels. And he backdropped Chainsaw Charlie into it. So what happens was Cactus Jack climbs up onto the Titantron and he walks across the little bars that are in the front of it, stands up, and does an elbow drop into the dumpster. But when he drops that elbow on Chainsaw Charlie, the New Age Outlaws appear. They lock them in the dumpster. The crowd is chanting for the Legion of Doom. They're nowhere to be found. The Outlaws then roll the dumpster off of the stage. And so the dumpster crashes down. And this was in the, I remember this episode vividly. This was the night I was like, oh shit. I think I'm done with watching WCW first. Man, so all the officials, the mid-carders, everybody comes out of the bat to try to help Cactus and Charlie. They finally get the top open. We see them from a top view. You know, they're laying in there. There's a whole bunch of pack of peanuts and other stuff in there, you know, kind of cushion their fall. They show the replay from all the different angles and things like that. And then we see the Outlaws. They're explaining their side of things to Vince. you know, they're like, we didn't want anybody to get hurt. Vince is like, you drove them off the side of a stage in a trash can. You think anybody was going to get hurt? After the commercial, the scene is still going on. The ambulance finally arrives. Sonny is just uncontrollably crying and weeping. Fast Funk, Tuco Scorpio, is like, fuck that. He's trying to fight the Outlaws. He's being held back. But Mosh and Thrasher finally get a hold of the Outlaws. And a big-ass brawl breaks out because literally the New Age Outlaws had to fight like half the mid-card locker room, the heels and the faces, was both trying to get a day ass. Jim Ross interviews the Outlaws backstage. He calls them careless and stupid. Road Dog says he wanted to make a name for himself. That's when DX arrives and praises them, telling them that's how you get ratings. It's either you or them, and tonight it had to be them. You know, they were like, get those ratings up, get yourselves over. That's what we're doing. That's what we represent here in DX. So now we have Billy Gunn versus Owen Hart for the European Championship. Right out of the gate, man, Owen Hart goes after both of them, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg, upset about what happened to Cactus and Charlie. The match rolls on, but that's when Billy locks in the sharpshooter. Road Dogg jumps in the ring for the DQ. DX comes out, and they watch the New Age Outlaws beat down Owen. They toss Owen to the outside. DX takes cheap shots on Owen, including China. They take Owen to the stage where Triple H DDTs him. Hunter tells the New Age Outlaws to prove themselves. So they get ready to do the old school where you grab somebody's legs and grab somebody's arms and swing them. They get ready to swing them off the stage, but the officials came out, and the crowd was like, boo! After the commercial, JR says Michael Cole's at the hospital. Michael Cole calls in and says that medical officials said that they're working on Foley and Funk. He says that, you know, it's hard to get information, but he'll be back as soon as he has something else. Mosh versus Marvelous Mark Mero. Everybody's here to see Sable. That's basically what they're here for. The ref gets distracted. Mark Mero hits a low blow on Mosh, and he gets the pin. Mark Mero and Sable walk away together like they're best friends. Oh, that's because Goldust came dressed out as Marilyn Manson, and that's what distracted them. I forgot about that part. Because Goldust and Mark Mero and Goldust and Triple H are like cool during this era. NWA guys are backstage for Bradshaw. JR asks Wyndham when is he going to be man enough to face Bradshaw. Wyndham says that he is man enough. He tells Bradshaw he has a temper and he is a bad partner, and that's why they lost matches. Bradshaw breaks up and leaves while Wyndham is still talking, challenging him to a match. We get a Tiger Ali Singh appearance. That's all that needs to be said about that. Root versus Chained. DOA versus the Nation of Domination. The DOA is accompanied by Shamrock and Ahmed Johnson. At one point, Farouk stops to talk with some fans, leaving himself open to Chains rising up and giving him an electric chair. Michael Cole gives us an update on Terry Funk. He says Vince is at the hospital. Terry Funk has regained consciousness, and Mick Foley is not quite out of the woods yet. Farouk goes to the outside and begins arguing with the Nation. He gets counted out, and then they start brawling with each other. Farouk makes the Nation stand on the stage and do their salute. And then you can kind of see the Rock with that look on his face like, this might be the last time you order me around like that. Barry Windham and Jeff Jarrett, they took on Bradshaw and Flash Funk. This was kind of just a slow match, NWA style match. Jeff Jarrett was in the match, so it's nothing really to write home about. Flash Funk, though. Good stuff. He didn't fit with these three other guys, though. They show the dumpster thing again. Then they have this guy, Wink Collins, come in talking about getting your WrestleMania tickets. And then we have what would turn out to be our main event segment, the Road Dogg versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. Steve Austin's in there whooping his ass. And then that's when DX comes out to help Road Dogg. They're beating him down. It's 5-on-1. And then all of a sudden, that's when Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie, they peer coming down the ramp. And they help out Steve Austin clear the ring. And that's basically how this Monday Night Raw ended. Retro Monday Night Raw. This was basically the night that the New Age Outlaws became members of DX. They were all over this show. They had they were in, let's see, I actually can count it out. They were in the first segment with Chainsaw Charlie and them. They were in that whole second segment where they were trying to get them to the back. Then Billy Gunn, that's three, was in the next match right after all of that cleared up. Then they got interviewed after that. They got interviewed before that. Then they had the match with Billy Gunn. So that's four segments in a row that they've been in. They took a break for two segments, three segments, four segments. And then they ended up in the fifth segment. So, yeah, they showed up. They showed up like four or five different times in the night. So they were all over that show. So that's a fun trip down memory lane, watching New Age Outlaws become members of DX, because you forget that DX was just Shawn, China, and Hunter, because it got so big. And when it got big, they had X-Pac and Road Dogg and everybody in there. And then they Shawn retired, and then they had the other version minus Shawn. So early DX. This is the whole time from. This is February. So from the Royal Rumble, which was January 18th, all the way through to WrestleMania 14, where Stone Cold wins the belt, that's when I became like a WWF guy. Like, yeah, WCW was cool in 97 and the first part of 98. But once Mike Tyson showed up, it was like, oh, yeah, this is where it's at right here. And so, yeah. That was the launching point.
Nice.
So thank you for indulging me on that retro broadcast, doing a little extra duty. How old were you in 1998, if I may ask? Or whereabouts? let's put it this way. Were you in middle school at least?
I don't know. Wait, you said 98?
Yes.
98? Yeah, like 8th grade, 9th grade, something like that.
Okay. But SmackDown hadn't started yet, so you aren't quite a wrestling fan yet, huh?
No, I watched wrestling, but back then it's not like I had my own TV and my mother wasn't into wrestling, so I didn't get to watch it.
Oh, I got
like
you.
Like how I would want to watch it.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yes, but for a lot of people, this time frame right now that we're talking about in these retro broadcasts are like it's the time frame that they really got it. This is like the wrestling is about to get super, super hot. Mm. Like WCW is hot, but it's just WCW, and WWE was WWF was still in catch up mode. But after they got Mike Tyson and after Steve Austin wins the belt, they catch up and then they pass him. Leave him in the dust. So we will be talking about, I think we're going to try to set up a live tweet for the pay-per-view that takes place in February at the No Way Out in Texas, where it was Chainsaw Charlie and Stone Cold and somebody else against the New Age Outlaws and DX and Sean and Hunter. I want to say it was Owen Hart, but I don't think, I think it is Owen Hart. I think it's Stone Cold, Owen, Chainsaw Charlie, and Cactus Jack against, or Mick Foley against the New Age Outlaws, Sean and Hunter on that show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that will be an interesting live tweet, to say the least. So, Miss Dee Dee Janae, we have come to the end of the episode. So, at this point in time, any additional thoughts before you give your shout outs and thank yous?
Oh, no, no extra thoughts. My brain is kind of empty today.
Shout outs and thank yous?
Shout out to me. Thank me.
I am, because you showed up for work today.
I did, and I wasn't going to. I was eating my good Thai food, and I was like, But then I thought, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and answer this call, because I do love talking about wrestling.
I appreciate you answering the call and talking to me about wrestling. So that'll be my first shout-out to the lovely and talented Miss Dee Dee Janae, our SmackDown Matters correspondent, helping me review Money in the Bank, Monday Night Raw as well. Give a shout out to all the WrestlePays and all the members of the Glow. Hopefully, maybe y'all saw it late, but they had the Fine Women Who Watch Wrestling hashtag pop up last week. So hopefully y'all participated and got y'all's pictures and faces out there. Shout out to everybody again who joined us for the MoneyCast Holes live tweet. Shout out to Sam. Shout out to Greg. Shout out to Classic. Shout out to everybody on the CSPN network who has been, you know, keeping the network going during this time of quarantine. I definitely appreciate their hard work and their efforts. So for our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Dee Dee Janae, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 283 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
I've known you a long time. I know that look. I know that look. There is doubt in your eyes. But you got grit, don't you? You got passion. That's what brought you back to the dance. That's why you're in this ring with me right now. Grit and passion. But all your grit doesn't even come close to comparing to my natural ability. All your passion? That passion ain't gonna knock off the ring rust. No chance in hell that your grit and your passion is gonna help you now. Now you once went on record as saying that I was one of the best to ever lace up a pair of wrestling boots. You also went on record as saying that I am a future Hall of Famer. And you even went out of your way to say that now that you are back on Monday Night Raw, that you are gonna make Randy Orton a better performer. So I think the story writes itself, don't you? Yeah, that is if you got the guts. If you've got the guts, then a backlash, it'll be Edge versus Orton in a straight up wrestling match.
you have a response. Well, gentlemen, if this does happen, it may just be the greatest wrestling match ever.